Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
There. Welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today. Hope you had a good week. We are this week going to look at the readings from the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Good message here this week. These readings are, I like to call this, the best invitation you will ever receive. This is an invitation for each one of us from the Lord that we don't have to accept. But as we look at these, at the readings today and think about this invitation, we would, there is no reason why we should not accept. And what we're talking about here is the invitation to live forever in the happiness of heaven. This is what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The invitation is for us to reject or to accept. Yes, it sounds silly. Why would anybody reject it? But it is possible. It is possible. So we'll talk about it because we do bear some responsibility. This is not, even though Jesus is the reason that any and the only reason that any of us can live in heaven, it's all because of him and what he did on the cross, we can still mess it up. We can still reject his offer. And we do that when we, honestly, we can do that in little ways, but it's not necessarily an all or nothing deal, because if we start to get too technical about making it to heaven, in other words, I'm just going to avoid all mortal sin and I'll make it to heaven. Well, yeah, technically that's true, but you sort of lose the spirit of what we are supposed to do as Christians. And as we grow closer to Christ, as we develop our relationship with him, the venial sins, the little sins, are going to be very concerning too. So we don't want to just say, I will avoid all serious sins. But in the meantime, the little white lies, the treating people in a nasty way, that's the posts on social media that hurt others. That's not too bad. That is too bad. And we really want to focus on that. So let's not look at our salvation as an all or nothing deal, even though, yes, the purpose of our life on earth is to be able to get to heaven. If we don't do that, if we don't end up in heaven, our life was a failure. But we don't want to just shoot for that final goal without taking one day at a time and living that day in imitation of Christ. We are called to be another Christ. And I do that in my family. I do that at the workplace. I do that at school. I do that at the supermarket. I do that no matter where I go. You'll agree with me, I'm sure, that the world is a little messed up right now. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger. Well, it's time for us, I think, as Christians, to make a difference. I mean, Jesus commands us to love one another. So let's keep that in mind, all right? And so that's what the purpose of the readings are today. And I really hope you'll be able to settle in and hang out with me for the rest of the show. I hope you have brought a beverage, a snack, and you're ready to go. One quick reminder, let go of anger and stress, be transformed by the fruits of the Spirit, which is my latest book that is available now. You can get it at Amazon, at Ave Maria Press, I'm sure at Barnes & Noble as well. It's all over the internet, or also at your local Catholic bookstore. I'm sure if they don't have it in stock, they'll be able to order it for you. But the easiest way to pick up a copy of the book is to go directly to my website, which is followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. The book is all about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and how, and you've heard me talk about this, and how if we let the Spirit work in our lives and don't try to block the work of the Spirit, which we often do unintentionally, we're not only going to be able to show these fruits to others. So my life is going to bear more good fruit, love and peace and joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control externally. It's going to affect other people, but it's also going to affect me. I'm going to be more peaceful. I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to have more patience. When I have more love, not only can I love others more, but I can better receive God's love for me. You know, so it not only helps others, which is great, because we need to start getting out there and changing the world. You know, that's up to you and me to do that. But it also helps me. It's going to make me a lot more peaceful. So if you get a chance and you're interested, please pick up a copy of the book. It's an easy read. I spend one chapter on each of the fruits, and I really do think it'll help you. So the book, again, is Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit by me, Gary Zimak, and it is published by Ave Maria Press. Any questions, as always, you can just shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com for more information. Okay, you ready to get started? Let's do it. Let's turn to our Father in heaven and let's kick off this program in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for bringing us to this moment in time. Father, if you didn't love us, if you didn't care for us, if you didn't watch over us, then we would cease to exist. We wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be able to offer this prayer to you. So even the fact that we can pray is a gift from you. We thank you for that gift. We thank you for the gift of letting us be created. Father, we thank you for the incredible invitation that you give to each and every one of us. And that's the invitation not only to live in communion with you in this life, but also to be able to live with you forever in the next life, a life filled with no problems, no troubles, no struggles, but total happiness in your presence. That's a gift, and we do not deserve that in any way. But Father, it is a complete gift from you, and for that we thank you. Father, we ask you for the grace to help us to keep following you, to do your will above all things, to imitate Jesus in that way, to do your will, to desire to do your will. Please increase that desire and grant us the grace we need to be able to avoid sin and to follow you. Father, fill us with your peace this day. Send us a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Transform us. Help us to think and act and speak like Jesus did. Father, give me the words for this program, and also open up all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to the message you have for us today. And Father, we ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimak. This is the Gary Zimak Show, and I want to thank you for, I've been getting a lot of emails lately. You know, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, I said, I want to hear from you. I want to know more about you. You know about me, but I want to make sure that I understand who you are, where you listen from, what you're going through, and you've been very honest with me, and I really appreciate that. It's good that we know each other, because you're family. And I hope I'm family with you as well. We've got a common father. We've got a common brother in Jesus. We've got a common mother in Mary. So it's a good thing that we really get to know each other better as we walk through this life and try to help one another to get to heaven, to carry one another's burdens. And you know what? You do that for me. And I'm so grateful through your prayers, through your comments, through your donations. You help me more than you probably will ever know. So I say it often, it comes from the heart. You're amazing. I'm so grateful to have you in my life. I really am. So this time when I get to record this program and I get to spend some time with you talking about these readings and concentrating on the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit deliver a message to you through me, these are special times, so I'm really grateful. If you ever need anything, if you have any questions, if you haven't sent an email, you want to let me know more about you, what you think of the show, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, gary@followingthetruth.com. And if you like this program, Don't forget, I do it Monday through Friday as well, Following the Truth. It's a 30-minute podcast. You can find out more about that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, got that out of the way. Going to take a sip of my beverage du jour. Interesting. You know, at one time, if you're a new listener, I don't know if you're a new listener, but I'll assume you are. Many, many years ago when I started this program, I used to do what I called my beverage du jour. And it was something that just kind of evolved. When I first started it, my wife said, "Will you please stop doing that? You're going to annoy these people." But what I would do is I had a different beverage every day. I had a different flavored soda or a coffee or water or whatever it was. And what would happen was when I would go out and speak across the country, people would start telling me, "Hey, I really love that beverage thing. You know what my favorite drink is?" And it just kind of evolved into a thing. And at a couple of my events, people even brought me these certain beverages and said, "Here, try this out." Anyway, it kind of was a cool thing. So I don't do it as much anymore. But today I have a can of Sprite. I just felt like some Sprite today. I'm going to take a sip of that. Kind of make sure that my throat's in good shape. But again, you know, the reason I talk about stuff like that, this is an informal gathering. You and me, we're sitting. I'm looking at the chair across from me. That's you. You're there. I can almost see you there. And by having our beverages, by having our snacks, I don't eat on the air anymore. That got me in trouble one time when I got a very, very nasty email about somebody being offended by my chewing on the air. And I get it. I was trying to make a point, but we're not going to go there anymore. But you're free to snack, right? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Word of God. This is great stuff. We do it in an informal way, but this is really good stuff. This is good news, and I'm just glad we can do it as friends. So today, as we look at the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, let's put it into context. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. And what that does, that closes out the church year. And then we go into Advent and we start the church year all over again. But just to give you an idea, we're at the 28th Sunday. We go until the 34th Sunday to close out the year. And then again, we start off the year over again. But we're coming toward the end. Believe it or not, we are coming to the end of the liturgical or the church year. And you're going to start to see some themes develop. I don't want to say end times themes, but literally it is. It's like, okay, we're going to be judged. Guys, listen up. And the church wants us to make sure, to become aware that we don't get lazy, that we don't get complacent, that we don't start slacking. Because we have a fallen human nature. We tend to do that. We are going to be judged for our time on earth. So somebody like me needs to hear that message, because I can tend to go through the motions if I'm not careful. So in the next few weeks, you'll probably be hearing more of that. Today's message, it is kind of one of those wake-up messages. And well, let's get right into the readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. As I always do, I will start with the gospel, and then we'll back it up to the first reading, and we'll fill in the gaps. But to me, this is coming across loud and clear. This is an invitation that we have, an invitation which can be rejected. Why we would, I don't know, but it is a good invitation. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14 is the gospel. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables. Now, he's talking to the bosses, the religious leaders, and these are the guys that were a constant thorn in the side of Jesus. They gave him such a hard time. They consistently rejected his message. So he had to be tough with them. Now, remember, he is speaking to the leaders, the religious people, the holy guys, because they needed to be shook up a little bit. And that's what he was doing to them. Jesus again spoke in reply to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come." So what we see here is we see the king is inviting guests to the wedding feast for his son. Now, what we're going to see, this whole gospel, this parable, is about salvation history. The invitation, calling a certain group of people, beginning with the chosen people, the Israelites, many of whom rejected Christ. But this is God's call to his people with the understanding that we, as the people, the chosen people of God, now expressed through the new covenant, we have the ability, the right, if we want, to reject the invitation. The invited guests refused to come to the feasts. A second time, the father sent other servants, saying, "Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast." Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. So, see, people are putting their work, things, material possessions ahead of the invitation to come to the wedding feast. We do the same thing sometimes. The king was enraged. The rest laid hold of the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find." Now, obviously, what's happening here, this is a multi-level invitation. What we're seeing here is a picture of salvation history. So initially, the prophets are sent to the Israelites, inviting them to change their ways, to move away from their pagan gods, and to worship the one true God. And throughout the Old Testament, we see stories of Israel straying from the Lord and going off and doing things their way many times. Not everyone, but many times we would see this happen. So the invitation is there. The people are rejecting the prophets, God's messengers. They're being rejected. So this is building, okay? So the second phase of this parable now kicks in. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, "My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?" But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen." Boy, that's a problematic verse. That's a verse that even if you look in biblical commentaries, that one drives people crazy. And, you know, the church has never come out and said that there are more people in heaven, that more people in hell than there are in heaven. The church has never named one specific person and said that one person is in hell. So I don't think we can say, I mean, certainly there is a hell. Certainly there is a hell. We don't know who's in hell, who's in heaven. All I know is I don't want to be a person going to hell, right? Or I don't want to spend unnecessary time being purified in purgatory. You know, sometimes we get that all or nothing mentality. We think, well, as long as I get to heaven, it's going to be okay. Listen, I love being with God right now. I couldn't imagine being close to him. And again, we don't really understand this whole purification process of purgatory. It's not so much a place as it is a process. I've got to be cleaned up so that I can enter into heaven. If I don't have to, I don't want to wait, and because you could be suffering when you're going through that. You want to be with God. So it does matter that each day of our lives, we strive to avoid even the venial sins, the little sins. Nothing's really that little in the big picture. They all put Christ up on the cross. So I really should care and let the Holy Spirit work through me to purify me, so that I do treat other people nicer, that I am more patient, that I am more loving, that I am more kind, because it does matter. So, yeah, there's an invitation. We are invited to live with God forever in heaven and to meet Jesus face to face. I mean, what a great opportunity to be able to do that. I don't want to waste time. When I die, I would like to go to heaven, if at all possible. Right? Doesn't that make sense? So let's not look for that all or nothing approach. Well, look, if I just make it to heaven, I'll be happy. No, I want to be in heaven. I want to be there soon after I die. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it's not just about me. It's about loving Jesus, too. The kinder I am to the people around me, the more I'm expressing my love for him, right? So that enters into it as well. But we, you and me, we have a choice to make every day of our lives. Do we want to accept this invitation to move closer to the Lord by acting in a way that shows our love for him? Or do we want to stay the same or move away from him by doing what we want? That's really what it comes down to. Let's look at this first reading now. And the banquet theme, it really is, you're going to see that come into play. It's from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." Obviously, the ultimate reward, the closest we can get to the Lord, and the way we'll see him the best is in heaven. But that relationship, that banquet begins here in this life. And certainly that's what happens when we go to Mass. That's where heaven and earth meets. And we are at the banquet where we join through Jesus, in Jesus, and offer sacrifice to the Father. Heaven begins here. It begins in this life. But we've got to make that, we've got to accept that invitation. You know, we can reject it, but we don't want to do that because it's such a good, great offer that we don't want to reject it. And the responsorial psalm, I think my favorite psalm, I bet it might be one of your, it might be your favorite too, Psalm 23, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." And let's start that here, even before we die. Let's live with him every day of our life from this moment forward. That's something you and me, we can do it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Boy, isn't that great? So many times we think we need things. There's another version, a different translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." How cool is that? If he's your shepherd, and he is, and you accept him as your shepherd, you don't lack anything. "In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come." Doesn't that sound good? Yeah, this world is just so crazy anymore. Let's connect with God through Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit and begin that process here below. Every day for the rest of my earthly life, I want to live in your house, Lord. And then we're going to get to your real house in heaven. That sounds so good to me right now. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. And what a great message this is. "Brothers and sisters," Paul states, "I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstances and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. Paul's thanking the people who supported him, because Paul was going through some really tough times. But what Paul was saying, and this is something we should really learn. I want to learn this and get this, really appreciate this. Paul said that, I don't care if I have a lot or if I have a little. It doesn't matter. If I'm going through hard times or good times, I have learned with the help of Christ to be able to survive and be peaceful. That's where we all need to be. And he finishes up by saying, my God will fully supply whatever you need, talking to the Philippians, in accord with his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen. It goes back to that theme, I shall not want, or I lack nothing, that we just read in Psalm 23. If you accept the invitation to come to the banquet, to participate in the banquet, and again, it starts here in this life, you lack nothing. You might feel like you need things, but if you have God in your life, you can rejoice because you really have what you need. And honestly, this is what I've learned. You got to try it in order to really experience it. And I really suggest, you've heard me say it before, if you haven't done so, I suggest today is the day that you admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and surrender your life to Him. Once you do that, you're going to unleash His power in your life. You're going to give Him the freedom, the power to work, because He does not force His way into our lives. He sets things up for us. He'll allow certain circumstances to arise to give us a chance to grow closer to Him, but He will not force us to go against our will and surrender our lives to Him. But I've learned, once you do that, it's the best thing you can ever do, and you're going to feel peace like you have never felt before. So do that today. Say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and I surrender my life to you. Let's go, Lord. Where are we going? Just give me the grace, and I can do all things in you who give me strength. All right. Thanks for being with me on the program. It was a good show today, wasn't it? If I have to say so myself, I felt the Spirit moving. But you've been invited to the banquet. Don't turn down the invitation. It's a great invitation. If you have questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're able to become a monthly sponsor to support my ministry, I would be very, very appreciative. I could really use you right about now. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can make a secure donation or become a monthly sponsor. And again, that would really help me out a lot. In the meantime, until we meet again, I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me too. Don't forget to pick up a copy of Let Go of Anger and Stress, available now. God willing, I plan to be here with you once again next week on The Gary Zimek Show. I hope you're going to be here too. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. See you next time.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.